As Wisconsin recovers from the recession and the new employment landscape takes shape, we're taking a look at where the jobs are in Wisconsin and what challenges face workers and employers.
In a 9-month investigation, Gannett Media in Wisconsin is finding out where the state's economic opportunities lie. From Wausau to Door County, they're looking at manufacturing, skilled trades, STEM jobs, and agriculture to find out where workers are needed and the challenges that employers face in hiring them. The project is called State of Opportunity.
Kevin Anderson joins us now. He's an executive editor at Gannett Lakes Group. Kevin, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Veronica.
Well, let's start by asking a fundamental question. Is there a skills gap in Wisconsin?
Well, when we started this project or started looking at this project last summer, I think that's how we talked about it internally. But I think when you look at larger employment issues, we're looking at, in some cases, a skills gap, and that might be hard skills or soft skills. But I think there's also another thing playing into this, and this is, if you will, a demographic cliff. And that is, I was talking to one of our major employers here in Sheboygan County, and they said that if everyone who was eligible for employment in the next 3 to 5 years retired right at the stroke of midnight, they would lose 30% of their workforce. So I think that the baby boomers retiring is another huge thing that's playing into concerns across the board in terms of all of our major employers in the Northeast.
So in an ideal world, that demographic would retire and the next generation would step up in equal numbers to fill the jobs that they vacated. Why isn't that happening?
Well, I'll just take one element that we did. We just recently looked at trucking, and the folks in trucking said that people going into trucking school is down 50% compared to with 10 years ago. And just a couple of weeks ago on NPR, you actually highlighted that people aren't going into trades like plumbing, electrician. We just highlighted that and took a look at a local employer here, Kohler. So a lot of the millennials, if you will, aren't going into the skills trade. They aren't seeing 2-year technical schools as much of an opportunity. And so I think that that's really one of the issues that we've had is that some of those skills. But again, you know, it's across the board in terms of some of the opportunities that we have. We're in a couple of months going to be starting to look at, as you say, STEM trades, and that might be healthcare, accounting, education. So it's really, you know, for me, I look at it as sometimes it's a skills gap. Sometimes people are going into areas, aren't going into areas where we still have a dramatic need here. And other times, I think it's actually we need to recruit people to our communities.
Now, to look at which industries are hiring in central and northeastern Wisconsin, what are you finding there?
It really is broad-based. So, you know, just for instance, Sargento is expanding in Kiel, going to add 180 jobs there. You know, we have constant recruitment across, you know, the paper industry, the marine manufacturing industry, metal fabrication, trucking, again, healthcare. We're actually seeing here in Sheboygan County a huge and dramatic increase with Acuity, an insurance company here, a health savings bank here in Sheboygan, adding, you know, thinking about doubling, you know, adding several hundred work jobs in the future. So it really is broad-based.
To zoom in on one particular area, let's look at Sheboygan now. That is a place that you found seems to be facing low unemployment. What does that mean for employers?
Well, again, you know, right now we are at 3.9% unemployment. We're about where we were right before the unemployment started to spike and went up to about 10 or 11% during the recession. And again, one of the things that's interesting is before we would have general general jobs fairs. Now we're having specific industries and specific companies even having jobs fairs to try to find workers. I think the other thing that's interesting about it, and this is one of the reasons why we're doing this series, is we want to communicate to our readers, and our businesses and our employers want to communicate to our readers that they are willing to train people, you know, internships. There's one company, Kurt G. Joa, that does big machines that makes diapers and things like that. They actually have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars just in a couple of machines to train their interns. So I think that for some people who say, well, the training's not there, that is absolutely not the case. There's internships opportunities. There's money for training. So I think that for people who are looking to move up out of those entry-level positions into positions that really, you know, as the president of LTC says, you know, the average manufacturing worker in Wisconsin makes $53,000 a year. This is not your, you know, minimum wage entry-level position. So it is, that's why we called it State of Opportunity. We really wanted to say this is positive and our communities have a chance to grow again.
So you've got businesses that are willing to train people and needing to find people to fill these jobs. Is that a message that's not getting out? Are people, I don't know, assuming that I don't have the skill set for that, therefore I can't apply? Is it something that's maybe shifted?
I think there's a few things. And like I said, some of the skills gap, and when you get down to sort of as low unemployment as we see in Sheboygan County, and I think we're definitely a bit of an outlier. I mean, you have to realize we had 1.9% unemployment in 1999. We are a traditionally high employment county. Some of that skills gap, to be honest, is soft skills. And we hear that a lot from HR departments. So people who lack communication skills, lack social skills in terms of getting along. And also, to be honest, you know, we hear a lot from our employers that folks will show up for 6 weeks and then stop for whatever reason, and that may be health or transportation or whatever. So there's definitely an element of the skills gap. I think, though, you're right about that message not getting out, and that's, you know, if we would have done this in a traditional way, we would have done a series looking at the skills gap. And I think, you know, people have heard that over and over and over again about skills gap. That's why we expanded it into this 9-month campaign. And we're looking at partnering with our businesses to do jobs fairs. We're even still thinking about, you know, crowdsourcing some scholarships in our areas. But we wanted to get the message out to people that said, look, the recession is starting to, you know, it's over for us. We can really help people. And as, you know, as journalists, public service folks, you know, we want to help our communities be stronger, and we want to help those workers find those new opportunities. And that's, I think, what's exciting about this project for me and for all my other fellow editors and journalists.
And times have changed, as you paint, you know, a picture of a lot of opportunity. To look at manufacturing now for a moment, there are some preconceptions about that field of work that may be hindering employment there. What's going on with manufacturing?
Well, and we heard this from our manufacturers. They said, you know, we know that there are a lot of retired manufacturing people in our communities, and those parents might be telling their kids, oh, you don't want to do the job I did. It was messy. It was dirty. It was, you know, not a great job. And now what's great is the manufacturers have let us into their plants, and it's a new generation. It really is manufacturing 2.0. The skills are higher. The plants are cleaner. The pay is higher. So if you learn, you know, CNC, computer numerically controlled lathes or other machines, you know, that's really an opportunity that you're going to make that, you're going to be making that kind of $50,000. Now, it may not be right out of the gate, but, you know, one of the things we're trying to do is show the wage ranges that people can expect, just so that we're honest with people about the kind of money they can make, and that, you know, really to drive that point home, these are not entry-level minimum wage jobs by any stretch of the imagination. These are jobs with great benefits, in great facilities, with world-class employers that are really have a hunger. And I would say, you know, I'm trying to paint this very positively. Then the negative possibility is that we have also heard, or I've heard, especially from my employers in my area, they have expanded in other states because they cannot find the workers here. And that is such a missed opportunity. And that's the other thing I want to really drive home, is that, you know, I think as a state, we need to start talking about this recruiting, saying, look, there's great lifestyle up here. If you like the outdoors, if you want a great quality of life, this is the place to be, and you can have that life, that American dream you've always wanted.
Well, it's interesting what you say, because we've seen a fair amount of reporting lately and over the last several years that maybe the unemployment rate is dropping, but that the jobs that are there are not jobs that you can support, say, a family on comfortably, that you might have to hold two jobs or three jobs. Are you saying that the jobs that you're seeing available and the training opportunities are jobs that will support you with one job comfortably?
It may not be one job comfortably. In our communities, I think you can. If you're making $50,000 in Sheboygan, that's a relatively comfortable lifestyle. But it's definitely, you're not talking about, you know, $20,000 a year minimum wage jobs, even in trucking, for instance, or welding rather. We looked at welding, and the, you know, people coming right out of technical school, their average wage was between $31,000 and $44,000. And so that is, to me, that is not your sort of typical minimum wage job. It may not be something where you're going to be able to afford all of the luxuries of life, but it's definitely a great place to start, and there's a lot of headroom there.
Governor Walker says that his budget focuses on helping to serve the workforce needs of Wisconsin. Have you heard from employers about whether they think that his budget is fulfilling that?
We haven't. And I mean, the budget's so new, but I would say that our employers are taking their own destiny into their own hands. And so, you know, when you look at it, our manufacturers in our area ponied up $2 million to develop the Kohler Center for Manufacturing Excellence at LTC. So I think, you know, they're not waiting for And in some ways, they're a little frustrated with government, both at the state level and the national level. But that doesn't mean that they're waiting for those government solutions to be delivered. They're, again, supporting workers to move up the ladder, to get the skills that they need to take those jobs, even not just manufacturing. We're talking about electrical engineering training for some of the staff as well. So, again, I think, you know, the manufacturers here, they realize that there's an issue, and they're trying to come up with solutions.
Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks.
We've been speaking with Kevin Anderson, executive editor of Gannett Lakes Group, about their project called State of Opportunity. It looks at the industries in Wisconsin with growing job opportunities. You can continue the conversation over on the Central Time Facebook page.